Hello and welcome back to Sports Wrestling, the Go Home Show podcast. And I am delighted to say that I am joined by a man who has starred in Transformers, won the NXT Tag Team Championships, and will be in the Heritage Cup final against A-Kid. It's Trent Seven. How are you today?
Very well. Thank you very much for the introduction.
And we'll start with that Heritage Cup final. How are you feeling ahead of the match against A-Kid?
Yeah, I'm feeling pretty positive. A-Kid's like he's only been here for like a year, maybe a little bit less. So it's not that he's an unproven talent. Like, I know how good he is as a mat wrestler. Like, I know how good he, like, I've wrestled him before on the independent scene. Like, and I know how good he could. I know how good he could be. The question is he good enough to stand across the ring from me at the final of the Heritage Cup to crown a new champion in NXT UK? I suppose that's what we'll find out.
And if you don't mind me saying, you are looking in great shape post-lockdown. How was that sort of process for you?
The whole point of lockdown for me was it was a humongous learning curve. You know, like, I went from January, February, March, traveling all around the world, wrestling Finn Balor and like Tommaso Ciampa, Johnny Gargano, like these incredible matches, to boom, absolute zero, like nothing, no matches, no travel, no nothing. So it was almost like a little bit of a rude awakening. But like, I feel like the whole point is like, No matter how much time you take away from your sport or your activity, it's whilst you're away, are you trying to benefit yourself, or are you trying to work towards becoming a better version of yourself when you come back? Do you know what I mean? And that's kind of what I got. I was like, you know, I've got a little bit of a chance now to knuckle down and, you know, lose a bit of weight and like focus on myself and like get myself right. And, you know, I feel like that's what I did. You know, I feel like I came back against Kenny Williams and Dave Mastiff in arguably the best shape that I've ever been in my life. And obviously that's maybe what's led me to be in the final against A-Kid, and you know, in a couple of weeks' time, we'll see how that pans out.
And then, obviously, a man that has been on NXT UK is now on NXT over in America, is part of British Strong Style, Pete Dunne. What do you make of his alignment with Pat McAfee?
Pete's his own man. You know what I mean? Like, even though he was part of British Strong Style, he was always like that kind of like little rogue, or he had that little bit about him that was, you know, a little bit off the wall. So for him to be paired up with, you know, a millionaire former NFL footballer, I don't know, man. Like, maybe it's the perfect combination. Maybe you get the chance of having the best wrestler that Britain's arguably ever produced, and now you get him teaming up with this multi-millionaire ex-NFL player that has the strokes to be able to do whatever he wants. Oh, like, I don't know, man. Like, maybe it's the option that I couldn't give Pete. You know what I mean? That unlimited fund or that unlimited backing, like, that means a lot. That gives you a lot of security in your performance when you know that someone's got this, like, unlimited background of funds that can back you up. You know what I mean?
And another member of British Strong Style, Tyler Bate, he's not been seen since NXT returned. How's he doing? Is he all good?
Yeah, like, I spoke to him, obviously, like, here and there, and, you know, been around to his house and, like, met up with him and stuff. And, you know, this year has been incredibly complex for everyone. You know what I mean? Like, and, you know, I feel like, no matter who you are in the wrestling industry, the year 2020 has you know, taking a bit of a toll on you. So there's a big part of it where he's had to, you know, he's told me that he's had to do a little bit of soul searching. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's had to go and have a look at how he spends his money, how he lives his life, how he, you know, the time that he spends away from wrestling, like, you know, what kind of influences is Tyler Bate looking at to improve his life? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there's so many like little aspects of things that, you know, that, and we have to remember and we have to remind ourselves, like, this guy's 22 years old. Like, he won the UK championship at the age of 19. Like, that's not a normal life for anyone. Do you know what I mean? Like, there are no 19-year-olds on the planet that are WWE champions. It's like, it's career defining. And, you know, I think it's a lot. I think a lot of responsibility and a lot of power got put on Tyler's shoulders at such a young age. And I feel like, you know, that's the point of this last year, is him learning how to deal with that, and like him learning how to cope with the fame, and how to cope with the pressure, and how to cope with the limelight. So yeah, he's been okay, man. Like, but, you know, it's a humongous learning curve for someone at the age of 22 to learn going into being a WWE champion.
But then let's take a look at yourself and take a look at your beginnings into wrestling. Obviously, you had your own promotion in Fight Club Pro. How was that with dealing with that side, but also wrestling as well?
Well, arguably, it worked hand in hand. The point of us signing our contracts with WWE was that we were the first ever people that were able to bridge the gap, so to speak, and not only perform on the independent scene, but be able to have this tie and have this connection to the WWE at the same time. So it was almost like a genius plan from Regal and Triple H and Shawn Michaels to be able to have us interact with the independent fan base, and then also perform at Takeovers and Worlds Collide and all these other massive, you know, like 15,000 person capacity venues. I mean, arguably, you look at Tyler versus Peter Chicago Takeover. At the same point of them performing, arguably, and in my honest opinion, the absolute best match I've ever seen in my life, whilst also being able to compete on the independent scene and pull fans into watching NXT UK. You know what I mean? Like, pull fans into watching WWE UK, because here's this new genre of wrestling where you've got guys that are 5'6", 5'7", 5'8", that are barely 200 pounds, that are throwing everything they've possibly got at the wall and providing you with arguably the best matches that we've ever seen in our lives. You know, career-defining matches. The final from the original tournament is one of the best matches I've ever seen in my life. And then you fast forward to Chicago Takeover, where Pete won the title, which, in my opinion, is probably the best. It's probably the best wrestling match I've ever seen in my life. If you add all of the factors together, it's the best wrestling match I've ever seen in my life. And then you fast forward to the next Blackpool Takeover, and it's like Tyler Bate versus Jordan Devlin in arguably what may well be the best one-on-one wrestling match that's ever been performed in this country. So it's like this knock-on effect of, like, everyone simply just stepping up to the plate and knocking it out of the park every single time. So we go from Blackpool Takeover 1 to Blackpool Takeover 2 to Chicago Takeover to all these incredible matches where Pete Dunne is standing on the top of a cage at the end of War Games in the Staples Center in Los Angeles. And the next day, he's on a plane coming back to make sure he's there for the birth of his kid. Like, you can't write this. You can't write the dedication that we've all had to providing this incredible story and this incredible, like, lineage of titles in such a short space of time.
And then to pick up something you mentioned there about connection with fans, like something when I found when watching you over here is you've got this amazing bond with the fans. So whether it be in in-ring stuff where we always know you're going to do your role in the ring, whether you're going to go on the outside and try and chop someone, you hit the post and you have that reaction, or you're winding Zach Gibson up. How important is that connection for you with the fans? Because everyone loves you.
It means everything. Like, you know, we're in a position now where we're forced to perform in front of no fans. And that is just, unfortunately, that's just the scenario that we're put in, right? So I have to just, no matter how many fans are there, no matter who's watching, no matter who's in control of, you know, the cameras, my goal is simply, when that bell rings, to perform at the absolute best capacity that I possibly can. When you fast forward and you think about the matches that I've had against Kenny and against Dave Mastiff, would those matches have been more critically acclaimed or critically received if there was a paying fan base there? Maybe they would, maybe they wouldn't. The whole point is, like, my job and my career is based around working for WWE and giving the absolute best that I've got. So whether there's no fans or there is fans, you're going to get the best of Trent Seven.
And then looking ahead to this weekend, we've got Survivor Series, Undertaker's final farewell after 30 years. What's been your favourite Taker moment over the years?
I've got two. Actually, technically three. The first WrestleMania that I ever went to as a fan was 25. So the first ever WrestleMania I ever watched as a fan was Taker versus Michaels. It was just the most groundbreaking match I've ever seen in my life. Like, it was unbelievable. Like, God bless Triple H and Randy Orton for coming out after them, because every single person in that crowd was so emotionally drained from watching The Undertaker versus Shawn Michaels. Like, the absolute best versus the absolute best. It was incredible. And I'll never ever forget that. And the second WrestleMania that I ever watched was Phoenix the next year in the rematch of Shawn Michaels versus The Undertaker, right? And they did the tombstone on the floor, and it was an absolute riot. Like, there's no way you can possibly compare it to anything that's ever happened in my career yet. Like, it's the moonsault catch at WrestleMania 25, the moonsault from thingy and the catch into the tombstone. It's just legendary. Like, absolute, like, legendary performance here. So that's pretty special. The only other thing that I will say is he was backstage at, I want to say it was a Survivor Series, maybe end of 2018, something like that. And he was there with his family, and he was, like, chatting to people. And I was just across the hallway, and I was looking at him going, that's the Undertaker. So I was like, yeah, I've got to talk to him. So I waited till he finished his little chat with, I think it might have been The Miz or someone like that. So anyway, he finished his chat, and like everyone dispersed. And I walked up to him. And the night before, me, Pete, and Tyler, and I think it, maybe even like Mark Andrews as well, we'd been watching like Undertaker highlight reels on YouTube. And we found the match that he did against, I think it was 0-1. Yeah, it was a match that he did as the Undertaker at 0-1 in Japan against Hakushi, which would have been Shinsuke Jinzaki, right? So he had this 20-30 minute match in Japan in like Sumo Hall or wherever it was against this, you know, Shinsuke Jinzaki from like 0-1 in front of like a couple of thousand people, and they tore it up. It's unbelievable. If anyone's even listening to this podcast or this vlog, go out there and try and search for that match, because it is absolutely fantastic. And I remember going over to him and going, "Hey man, nice to meet you. Quick question. Do you remember when you fought Shinsuke Jinzaki, you know, Hobu or whatever it was, in 0-1 in like 2000 and whatever?" And he was like, "Fuck, yes I do." And then we spoke for about like 20 minutes about this incredible match that he had, where Vince said, "Now I need you to go over there. I need you to go over to Japan. I need you to do the job. I need you to go over there and like build their company. Like they've done really well for us." And I was like, WWE and 0-1 are working together, and the Undertaker is on a show. The Undertaker is on an independent show in Japan as the current Undertaker. And it was just amazing. And the match was really, really cool and just really, really good. And I spoke to him for about like 20 minutes about it. And it was just fantastic to like talk to him about like that kind of like weird little abstract time in his career where he didn't wrestle for WWE and he just went over to Japan and just did this random match. And it was just really, really cool to be able to talk to him on a level of, you know, that level of understanding of like, even though he's the Undertaker, we've all traveled the world and we've all been put in these positions and we've all been put in these matches that we didn't really know about, or we've turned up to these countries, or we've turned up to these companies, and we're not familiar with the people that we are, you know, wrestling with. But still, through the power of wrestling, like the magic still happened.
It sounds like an amazing chat. I remember meeting the Undertaker, and I was shell shocked. Like I didn't say anything. So like for you to have a 20-minute chat just sounds amazing. Obviously, at Survivor Series as well, we're going to have Team Raw versus Team SmackDown. Lots of title matches going head-to-head. What would be your one match to watch for someone who is going to watch it this weekend?
Straight off the bat, I would say keep a stern eye on Riddle, because I've wrestled him, fortunately enough, a couple of times on the independent scene. I haven't had the chance to wrestle him whilst we've both been contracted to WWE. But before that, like I say, like we had the chance to wrestle each other, you know, in pretty high stakes matches on the independent scene. And he is one of the most complete performers that I've ever met. Like he really is. Like he's got arguably every kind of attribute that you could possibly have. Do you know what I mean? To be a professional wrestler. I didn't think of anyone else.
Also, we've got Drew versus Roman Reigns, Asuka against Sasha, Team Raw, Team SmackDown.
Okay, so you look at someone like Sasha Banks, right? What is she like, 28, 27 years old? Like, the things that woman has achieved in her 28 years of life, arguably, is just second to none. And then you look at the rest of the career, it's filtered with match, like incredible match after incredible match after incredible match. And then I'm scrolling through my Instagram the next week and I'm seeing that she's starring in like the next Star Wars film, like The Mandalorian. And I'm like, she's almost transcended wrestling. Freaking Star Wars, man. Like actual Star Wars, not like a promo video where she dresses up as someone who's been in Star Wars. She's in forever in The Mandalorian. And I feel like that's the point, man. Like when I got into this business and when I got into this crazy, this crazy world of professional wrestling, of course I wanted to be like the most famous person. And of course I wanted to have a cool gimmick, like the Mustache Mountain or whatever. But the point was like, can I use the skills that I've got through wrestling to transcend it? Do you know what I mean? Like to become something more than just a wrestler. And to see people like Drew and Sasha Banks just push that envelope so far and like get to the point where they're in major action, like real life major action movies, is just, it's so inspiring. And I think it gives you that confidence that everything that you give into wrestling, as long as you actually give everything that you've got to wrestling, wrestling will always look after you. Do you know what I mean? I look at Randy Orton and I look at Roman Reigns and I just think they're so unbelievably good at wrestling. Like they're just absolute leagues above me and like so many other people. Like they've almost transcended the sport. Do you know what I mean? Like they're the, like when The Rock and Austin at WrestleMania 17, like they weren't necessarily bigger than wrestling. It was just that they were wrestling. Do you know what I mean? Like people watched because they wanted to see The Rock. People watched because they wanted to see Steve Austin. People watched because they wanted to see Jeff Hardy go through a table. Like I want people to say, I watched in 2020 because I wanted to see Trent Seven wrestle Eddie Dennis in a exposed corners match. Or I want to see Trent Seven lose loads of weight and wrestle A-Kid for the Heritage. Like, that's how I picture my career. Do you know what I mean? Like, I look at these legendary wrestlers that have paved the way for us. And I just think, our job is to try as hard as we possibly can to beat that. Because if we don't, then Randy Orton's the best of all time forever. But we always thought that Ric Flair was the best of all time forever. But now it might be Randy Orton. So in 10 years' time, is it going to be Pete Dunne? In 15 years' time, is it going to be Tyler Bay? In 20 years' time, is it going to be Jordan Devlin? Do you know what I mean? Like, that's how I look at, like, my career and the career of everyone at NXT UK is I look at them and I think someone has to be the superstar of this company in 10 years' time. So who's it going to be? Is it going to be Jey Uso? Is it going to be Roman Reigns? Is it going to be Drew Galloway? Or is it going to be Pete Dunne, Tyler Bate, or Jordan Devlin, or Trent Seven? That's what we've got. Like, that's what I feel like our job is to put into people's minds, like, hey, we're here and we're going to do whatever we possibly can to perform at the absolute best level that we possibly can for every single fan that watches our show. And at some point, fans are going to come back. At some point, for the love of God, fans are going to come back. And we're going to have 100, 200, 300 fans at every show. Mm. And when they do that, who are they going to chant for? Who are they going to call for? Who are they going to chant for? Like, I need them to be chanting for Trent Seven or Tyler Bate or Pete Dunne or Jordan Devlin. That's the whole point of it. The whole point of NXT UK is we literally are the future. We're here to provide the fan base with a bit of hope, that little bit of hope. Oh my God. Imagine if Jordan Devlin gets signed to SmackDown and he has a feud with Ricochet. Imagine the match. Imagine Tyler Bate gets signed to Raw and he has a feud with Bryan Danielson. Daniel Bryan, sorry. Like, the possibilities are endless. And for me, that's the whole point of what we're doing. We're here to create that mystique, that option of, fuck, like, imagine if we got Pete Dunne versus Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania. Right?
Yeah, it's mad.
Like, I just said it out loud and you're already reacting to it. Like, imagine if the Heritage Cup gets defended at WrestleMania against Daniel Bryan. Like, these are things that are actually capable of happening. These are real things. Imagine if Tyler Bate is in the Andre the Giant Battle Royal and he gorilla press slams fucking, I don't know, like Braun Strowman and wins that. Like, that's what I want. I want us to be the future of this industry. Like win, lose or draw. Like, we're the people that are the first people that ever created a brand outside of North America for WWE. Like, we have to have so much pride and like so much faith in what we've actually done already that we can carry that on into the next generation and create absolute superstars.
And just to wrap this, because it's been a very, very enjoying interview, we've been asking a lot of people this, but I just want to get your thoughts on who has the best WWE theme music ever.
Best theme music ever? I'd say My Time, Triple H. The best entrance music ever is My Time, Triple H. It's the absolute best wrestling entrance music I've ever heard in my life.
It's so good.
The way he used to come out and like stand under that one spotlight and just be like that, bang, and then the rainbow would like pop up. Oh. Is there anything better?
Probably not. Like, a few people said Shawn Michaels.
The only thing I can think is probably Cactus Jack at the Rumble. But then the whole point is that was so good because My Time played before. It was My Time, but Triple H, and then Cactus Jack in the same match. And the pedigree on the thumbtacks, just, yeah, unreal.
That might be
the best entrances I've ever seen in my life.
Trent, thank you so much for your time this morning, and I massively appreciate you giving me time over the years, whether it be selfies or chats at merch tables. Much appreciated, and yeah, best luck against Aked.
No worries, man. Thank you very much.